So I'll talk about the Fibonacci theory of super solid.
Usually I don't need this because my voice is usually a little bit loud.
So I will first give very quickly, because everybody knows in this audience knows history, PhD, Penn State University experiment. Now I will give a brief introduction to normal liquid, to normal solid transition. And then I will construct the two component quantum Fibonacci theory. Then I will propose a deconfined solid, which is different than the conventional solid. Transition to and then global phase diagram. And then, of course, I will talk about the deconfined solid to super solid transition. And then I will discuss PSU's experiment, especially focus on hidden three impurity. And I propose a concept called the order from quantity disorder. Then finally, I will also talk about the excitation in a super solid, the super solid vortex. So, of course, so far I really benefited a lot of discussion. I thank the two organizers for giving me this chance. And I also have a proposal. From now on, any series, if they finish the talk plus all the questions within 1 hour, then get a $10 award.
So you're offering a prize?
Today, I'm sure I will get this $10. Because I already put the $10 in my pocket. This morning. Okay, so a super solid, of course, is a state which has both alpha diagonal orange order and the crystalline order. So there are many early pioneering work. And then, of course, recent experiment is Penn State. And then, I don't want to go through many things, but then we just focus on the hidden three impurities in this range. They found a very unusual effect. Is decrease the superfluid extraction, but raise the transition temperature. And then in a few days ago, I learned the good kinds experiment. They also found the impurity plays a very important role in the acoustic wave attenuation and heat wave measurement. And of course, similar things happen in solid hydrogen. Of course, I want this $10, but I also need a lot of questions. Okay, so that's the experiment phase diagram.
Who gets the $10 if we?
you get from DJ Gross.
If it goes over 1 hour, then you have to lose $10. So for every minute over 1 hour, $10.
Okay, I need to be quick. I don't want to pay you.
For everybody, you get $10 for everybody.
Oh, that's very tough. Okay, let me put more pressure on me. Okay. So, of course, let me review the normal liquid solid transition. So any solid has a density of ray, has a periodic potential, and of course, for superfluid has a complex order planning. So the only thing I want to stress is this relation between this is very complicated, because in the effective field theory, they could be treated as independent variable. At this point, we come a little bit clear later on. So if it's actually liquid solid transition, even classically was not well understood. But at least the mean field theory, if it's weakly first order, we have this expansion in terms of the density operator. There's a cubic term. So normal liquid solid transition is a first order. However, of course, there is also liquid to superfluid transition described by the complex order parameter. So they're two completely different sectors. Break different symmetry. So this sector breaks translational symmetry. This sector breaks internal global U1 symmetry. So the coupling becomes very simple because they usually there's two completely different symmetry, can only be modulus square. So yesterday, Professor Alan Dorsey gave a very nice talk about this coupling. He focused on the fluctuation of complex order parameter, how it affects the lattice properties, for example, sound velocity. But today, I majorly focus on what happened with imprecise. With imprecise, I think there are many interesting stories happened even inside the precise. But this sector is always there. But they're coupling, this coupling to precise is very simple. It's just a mass term.
So just in order to get my $10, why would epsilon itself should also be periodic? because epsilon is the order parameter. Order parameter is off diagonal.
Yeah.
The eigenfunction of the diagonal of the density matrix, and which has to be the epsilon itself has to be periodic.
Yeah, that's definitely happening in the solid side. In superfluid, I will talk about that very soon.
I mean, psi in the super solid has to be periodic.
Exactly, but let me get to that. In the superfluid, it don't have to be. Right now, it's in superfluid. In the solid, there's something happen. Exactly what you say. So this transition is well understood. But at least the physical picture we know. Normally, create to normal solid, just that the cubic interaction, because here per size is not very important. The remnants of superfluid is very small. We integrate it out because it has a gap. So we can recover this transition. This transition is also well understood. Normally created superfluid transition, because there is no translational symmetry breaking, it becomes very simple. So we get this. But now the question is, I believe superfluid, when superfluid starts at the pressure, what will happen? Can we get a super solid which has both diagonal order and off diagonal order with non-classical rotation initial? So I put a question mark. And we actually, that's today's focus. I try to understand what happened along this line. Because all these are well understood.
So you claim even the diagonal order is suspect?
The diagonal order?
Even the crystalline order is suspect?
Is suspect.
Suspect, you're saying?
Yeah, I find some strange, very exotic diagonal order. Even that's my later on, we find even in solid, there's some density wave order imposed on the conventional order. So that's what Jason said. Even psi will become periodic inside this part. The question. So let me get that earlier. Then later, then you ask questions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what we have
even. $10.
Yeah. Getting $10 is not easy. Looks. Anyway, I already put have $10 in my pocket. Okay.
You don't make that
offer. Yeah. Oh, okay. Definitely. Maybe answer your question a little bit better when I finish the several transparency. Now, so the focus is on that arrow. From the superfluid side to solid side. So let me construct the two components of quantum gene Fernando theory. So I focus on the precise sector. So the starting point is two facts. There's a rotor minimum on the superfluid state. So that's well known. And also as we approach to the solid side, when adding pressure, the rotor minimum gets deeper and deeper.
That's not true. Yeah. It's certainly not true that it has strong experimental support. Even going up to 100 bars, you still have the gap is still non-zero.
Oh, the rotor disappeared. No, no.
Solid phase.
No. The rotor is simply disappeared. In the rotor minimum, you cannot talk about the rotor minimum as soon as you got solid.
I know,
you know, it's the first order transition.
You can make a metastable liquid and you can go way up there in the superfluid liquid phase and still have the rotons.
Okay.
Furthermore, this is the first order transition.
It's the first order transition. Rotor minimum don't have to be zero.
It's up to 160.
That's because the Allen point.
Anyway, it's certainly not true that it has experimental support.
Oh, but the instability. It's pretty convincing, you know, if you look at this, especially this work.
Okay,
Alan told me.
This one is just a theory paper.
The instability is due to rotor minimum collapsing. Okay, let me get to this point very soon. Because they are, you know, if approach this side, they're related. You know, why is the structure transition? The structure factor and the rotor minimum, they're connected. The structure peak is related to rotor minimum. So that's a 5 months work.
Yeah, that's just a bound, though. So.
Okay, I keep this question. We can get more private discussion. Okay. So let me base on this fact. So what I mean is, rotor minima don't have to be collapsing, but there's a first order transition instability is due to rotor minima.
Well, rotor minima does get smaller.
Get smaller as you add the pressure.
Become broad. That is true. The So, it's
water
and shallow. That is true.
That's true.
So yesterday, Alan told me, I looked at this paper, Norden certainly had the same point of view, but somehow he's a different focus. He proposed some strange thing called Bose liquid, which I don't believe, but he also
proposed. Bose liquid is not a strange thing.
Okay. So now, let me try. Okay, I leave this as a debate, okay? So suppose this is correct. And then we have superfluid water planet and also density wave water planet. So I will. So of course the superfluid water planet is the primary water planet. Density wave is cosine square. That's the secondary water planet. So this law is different than.
I'm sorry. So just the previous slide.
Yeah.
As you.
Psi
square is not the density.
Yeah, that n is the density. Rho is the density wave water parameter. They're different than water parameter. They're different. I will explain this point definitely when I get to the final global phase diagram. They're different, okay? Rho is just the definition. By definition, rho equal to psi square. But n and the psi relation in the scaling limit effective theory becomes complicated. Okay, so. If this way, then we find a new kind of quantum solid, which was, not only has the rotation and the translation order, but also has a quantum phase order by Poisson. Okay, so now let me construct this two-component Ginzburg-Landau theory. So usually we just forget about these two terms, we get XY model transition. But I need to look at these two terms because of the low-term minimum. So because of long-range tail, you know, if it's a hardcore potential, you don't get the low-term minimum. But you need the long-range part to get this low-term minimum. So in fact, I need this gradient high-order term, which usually in user critical phenomenon which are irrelevant. But if you have low-term minimum, that's highly important. So this one is negative, this one is positive for stability. So I get this propagate, which I usually need to clear fourth and sixth term. So if we have a symmetry breaking, we get the low-term minimum. So what I mean by two component is I only have one complex water parameter. But basically on the assumption, the low-term also needs to instability to the solid as we add the pressure. So I have to keep this sector. If you forget about this sector, we just recover conventional XY model. But now if I also need to focus on this sector, then I need to separate the into two modes. Just the integration is one is focused on near k equal to zero. So that's what we talk about phonon excitation. And another we focus on near the rotor. So that's the rotor part. So I call it psi 1 and psi 2 near the rotor wave vector. So there are one complex field but two length scale. So that would mean by two components.
So and let me see if I understand.
Yeah.
So are you saying that actually for all the parameters actually have two parts, one is k equals zero, the other is k equals to g?
Kr, rotor on surface. Rotor surface, yeah. Actually, rotor surface actually turns out to be...
Okay, so what I'm saying is, if it's merely that psi of x has a component g, then, you know, in usual Landau-Ginzburg, what we do is we expand the gradient term is actually gradient about that g, not about zero. But you're expanding gradient about zero. So is it because that there is actually a two component all the parameter, one with k equals zero and one with k equals to g?
The k equal to kr. Kr is not g yet. In superfluid is... There is a rotor minimum happen at Kr. Turns out Kr is 1 over the lattice constant. Turns out. That's because that points to the solid formation is due to rotor minimum, rotor instability. Kr is at the order of 1 over A. 1 over the lattice constant. It's 1 over 3 angstrom. So the point here is we need to keep psi 1 and psi 2. Psi 1 has low energy near k equal to 0. But psi 2 has a gap, of course, rotor gap. But there's also a rotor surface. These two guys, of course, because it comes from one complex field.
Okay.
That's the coupling. Naturally, the coupling is false. So of course, what I want to say, this precise is really not directly related to the annihilation operator. They're related, but not in a very obvious way related to helium 4 annihilation operator. Helium 4 is a strongly interacting system. You know, so if you start from there, you don't know how to do perturbation theory. But now, if Landau's quasi particle is weakly interacting, so this guy actually, if you break symmetry, needs to Landau's quasi particle, which are weakly interacting. So this U is actually is a weakly interacting. We think is a weakly interacting theory. So we are able to do some perturbative argument. So starting from Landau's quasi particle, not from the original Bayer helium 4 operator. So of course this has one, because only one complex field has one global symmetry, and then this is a two derivative term. So we have this particle hole symmetry. So I believe right now I do not have vacancy because of particle hole symmetry.
So what's can it explain particle hole symmetry again? Please?
Particle hole symmetry just percent goes to percent star.
Oh, that's what you mean. Okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So now. So let me try to understand the superfluid to that arrow. From superfluid side, we add pressure. What will happen? So of course, in superfluid, this rotor also always has a gap. But T is smaller than zero, so we get a symmetry breaking in percent one. So that's we have BEC. Of course, breaks U1 symmetry. And in this case, if break U1 symmetry, percent two is nice to decompose in the rear and then. And the real part and then both percent 1 percent 2 are complex. Okay, so of course real part and then imaginary part, it turns out because of the symmetry breaking, real part is more massive. So percent integrated out real part, we get the d plus 1 d quantum Lipschitz action. So this action is well known. Yeah.
Does the consideration that Alan Dorsey talked about yesterday apply to this model?
Yeah, certainly.
It's in the universality class of the same as BEC?
No. I will definitely talk about Alan. Alan Dorsey talk about 3DXY model from solid to, he talk about from solid to super solid. I will talk about very soon. Right now I'm talking about super fluid to solid. This is the first order transition. He is talking about solid to super solid. But I will certainly talk about that part very soon. But now I'm talking about superfluid to normal solid, which is
well,
a quantum.
But here the phase boundary, the two theories should be similar. I think the difference is that your superfluid all the parameters are uniform, one it seems to be, and then your superfluid all the parameter is actually a superposition of two density waves.
Exactly. Yeah. So what my precise one is what in my opinion. Okay, I should talk with Alan. Psi 1 is what is Psi. I have an extra player, is Psi 2. Everything else are the same as Adam. So I have an extra player, is this rotor minimum. Also, lattice part is always there. I don't focus on, when the complex order parameter, how it affects the lattice part, affect the phonon, sound velocity. So that's certainly, I agree. But I majorly focus on what happened. The major role played by Psi 2. So here, this action is well known in classical liquid crystal transition is the Lipschitz action. So the minimum is not at k equal to zero, but in a rotor surface.
What do you mean by phi 1 is more massive than phi 2? The gap is larger, substantially larger. Or
well, can you say it again?
You said the phi 1 is more massive than phi 2.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more.
You mean the gap is large, much larger?
Yeah, gap is larger. So
larger or whatever.
Yeah, it's larger by finite, gap. So the only thing I think is that maybe phi two becomes unstable first.
Okay, but that's due to the choice of psi one equals to a.
Yeah.
Psi one is real, right?
Yeah.
So,
but it's not going to change any. Okay. It's just the choice. But
so,
the
so once you break the. U1 gauge symmetry of the psi 1 that also fits the U1 gauge symmetry
exactly.
of the psi 2.
Exactly.
Actually, kind of worried because there's only one U1 symmetry, there's only one super free mode, you have two super free components. So it must be couples drawn in, you only have one.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly makes the story makes the story interesting because they're couple, only one U1 symmetry.
Another one would be gap, so by then there's only one U1.
We will get to that. Okay. Okay. So
once you order the uniform superfluid parameter to be real,
yeah.
And the other one wants to be imaginary.
Yeah.
Want to be purely imaginary. So they.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. If you put
and
one real by two.
Pi over 2 hour phase of each other. Is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. But so now, suppose the rotor minimum reaches the solid side, then we can see, you know, in the superfluid side, because the gap is one, the gap is large, is zero. Psi two, there is no condensation because psi two there is no condensation. So because they have the larger gap of rotor, then in the solid side, I assuming, okay, psi two condense. And with the wave vector near the rotor surface, so we get a density wave phase. And of course, this transition is if you use the Shankar's approach for fermion applied to this rotor surface, then you get a first order transition, which is of course this first order was first realized by Rovinsky. Yeah. Okay. Then. So we have, so in this case we get a density wave order. Density wave order, we always has this density part, okay? I have this density part, it's not equal to zero. Both sides we have density part. And then use a confined solid. From the liquid part, there's no condensation per side. But here we have a density wave, which is commensurate with the underlying lattice. So that's the difference between between a normal solid and the density wave.
The origin of psi is the rotor minimum. Now the rotor minimum is specified by a particular k vector.
Yeah.
And this psi 2 is supposed to be a slowly varying field on top of this EI, this rotor density wave, which is fixed by density wave already. Now what do you then, right?
Why do you say slowly varying?
No,
What about this? Let me go to next. When I talk about, if I talk about the normal solid to super solid transition, every question, if asked question there, would be easily to answer. So I know what you mean. So this density wave is at the rotor minimum. Okay.
Right. So it's already locked in KR. So that's why I'm confused by what you're saying.
I know what you are confusing. If I go to next transparency.
Okay. I will wait.
Okay. Yeah. So what I mean is, of course we understood this. Here we just say the first order transition. Okay, the first order transition is described by quantum Lipschitz action. I didn't answer this yet. I just know it's the first order transition, and then I know this state. I call this state has a density wave superimposed on user normal solid, and of course if I approach this side. The instability is due to k equal to zero. Okay. If you from superfluid to normal liquid, the instability is due to k equal to zero, open a gap. If now I add a pressure, if the instability is still due to k equal to zero, you have no chance to get the super solid. Forget about it. Because you open a gap, that's it. You get the normal solid. But now, what gives us hope is the instability is not at k equal to zero, but it's at k equal to kr. So that's the hope. I think the point is the instability this side and this side are different. One is due to k to zero, another is due to k equal to kr. So, but if k equal to r has instability, will it kill the mode at k equal to zero or not? As Wilson said, they're coupled. Indeed, they're coupled. That's the question I would like to address. But certainly, it gives us a hope we can get the super solid. Do I make my point here? If this instability is the same, you have no chance.
Instability is what? Same as what?
As a superfluid to normal liquid. If super fluid is normally liquid, what happens is forget about those.
Right.
They don't do anything. It's cake to this open like that.
Yeah.
So we get the normal liquid. So what my point is,
every time you go up, you see the photons. Horizontally, due to the energy.
Yeah,
zero.
Yeah. Of course, David may have dispute. We can talk about that. But that's the point. So I feel that's, you know, photons give us chance, you know, to all the instability. So, but it may also affect this guy. That's what I'm going to invest. Investigate the next few transparency. Then I can answer your questions.
Sorry, but you said actually from SF to NL, the K zero mode will open a gap. For what kind of excitation will have a gap?
I don't know. That's what I'm going to do. If they open the gaps, we don't get super solid. If it remains gap, we get a non-classical rotation initial. We get super solid.
But in a long free, there's no gap, it's just like free excitations.
Now, why don't I just finish the next few transparency? We can see what happens. So, what happens near here when this guy condenses? Okay, now, so we can look at precise 2 is condensed around the roton surface. Okay, this condensation is around the roton surface. Then, we want to plug it in, especially look at the interaction, precise 1 and precise 2, look at how it affects the low energy mode at the K equal to 0. If they open the gap, forget about it, you don't get a super solid. But if the gap, if it remains gapless, we get a long classical rotation initial. So that's what I'm going to look at. Of course, P is a roton surface. So my point is, P can, let me try P equal to 1, or all kinds of cases. But there's a constraint from the experiment, is the lattice is HCP lattice. But for general, let me look at the different cases, and then look at what happens to psi 1 at k equal to 0.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Can you explain what P is again?
P is the number of lattice points, you know, around the roton surface. Roton is 2.
I see, okay.
P equal to 1, or 2, 1 is trivial. 2, 3, I get the different lattices. Okay.
In case
space. Why would you have 2?
No, in real space.
K
is in real space, but the density is x here.
No, your Qm is in K space.
Yeah. Qm is at the same magnitude around the roton surface. What's your question, David?
Why would you study all those cases? Why wouldn't you just study the HCP case?
Oh, yeah, because I want to apply this to bilayer quantum Hall effect. Because I know bilayer quantum Hall effect also has an exotonic super solid. I want it to be more general. And then, So my point, let me get to that point. So let me take P equal to 2, then jump to HCP lattice. P equal to 2 give you physics. P equal to 2, then I get these two opposite nodes. So I got this local density wave. Is, of course, I have one-dimensional lattice. That's not real, okay? But let me treat as an academic exercise. It is simpler to explain physics. So I got a Ginsburg number I can describe. Density A have A and B transition. So, because the psi 2 is already fixed, we look at the psi 1, so there are couplings between. We expand that quadratic coupling. Of course, there are many couplings. The coupling can be infinite number of orders. So now we can see a transition from density wave A and density wave B. And the density wave B is, we do have condensation at k equal to 0, but now no non-classical rotation initial. I will explain this with, let me finish two transparency, get to the punchline, then we can discuss. Okay, so I couldn't see this for the diagonal. So we can see that the diagonal turn, there's always the lattice part, okay, the lattice part is always up to diagonal turn. That part because that part of the coupling is just diagonal part. So the diagonal shifts down the critical temperature, we can see. It shifts down a little bit. And then unfortunately, there's an off-diagonal turn. The coupling, there's an off-diagonal turn. This off-diagonal I call the unclipped turn, which breaks the global symmetry. Because there's only one U1 symmetry. That's understandable. If you break the global symmetry, there's only one U1 symmetry, psi 1 don't have this symmetry anymore. Therefore, there's no chance to get a superfluid component. Of course, from the symmetry, you can have all kinds of infinite number of terms from the symmetry. And then we get the transition from density wave A to density wave B is a Hessian universality class. Of course, the details has a tetracritical point, dicritical point. I don't want to go to details. And unfortunately, in this case, there's no Gauss thermals at k equal to 0. Even you have BC, non-classical rotation, there's no non-classical rotation. So we don't get super solid.
So this is the case where you have condensation but
no non-classical rotation initial.
Condensation, what
phase
is that? Say, condensation, what are you lossy up there?
Uh-huh.
Condensation, what mode is condenses?
So you have
psi.
I have
psi 2. You have psi 2.
Oh, you have
psi 2. Psi 2. But you have a roton, you have a roton condensation.
Yeah, yeah.
But not the k equals 0 condensation.
There is a transition. Even psi, there is a transition, psi 1, no condensation. 2 plus 1 has a condensation.
Yeah, so what kind of a superfluid is that supposed to
like a strike phase in two dimensions?
I don't. No, okay. This is artificial, but it's two nodes. Actual case is HCP lattice. This is just.
If you were two dimensions, as an example.
Oh, that's a get a strike. Exactly.
The one dimension
embedded in three dimension, or one dimensional lattice embedded in two dimension. So, unfortunately, we don't get a super solid. Of course, for p equal to 3, you get a hexagonal lattice, two-dimensional hexagonal lattice, and then you get a duplicate because of the symmetry. The add the equal to 0. Anyway, what is going to have to add equal to 0? Because the lattice is static. So, in this case, you don't get a super solid either. Now, let me get the punchline. Then we can accept the questions. So, I don't want to go through what is p. P equal to 3 actually is quite important for quantum Hall effect, yeah, because that's a two-dimensional system. So I talk about the P equal to 2 and then 3, right? So forget about all this, you know, linear wave. I don't want to explain this. But there is a density wave A to density wave B transition with the Hessian class for triangular hexagonal lattice becomes a cubic term, that's just first order. Now let's look at the BCC and the HCP, which are two most relevant lattice. And in this case, you can do the Feynman analysis as a p equal to 2. I got all this term. But now the power is very high. 4 term for BCC lattice. And power 6 for HCP lattice. Somehow, no matter how hard I try, I cannot get the FCC lattice from this roton condensation. But I realized that all this guy has nothing to do with the FCC lattice, so I gave up.
Oh, so you already assumed the crystalline order is locked the particular lattice already?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The density wave order must be commensurate with the underlying lattice.
Yeah.
That's the lowest energy state.
Well, you probably know since you do this, you just take that theory itself. Like, I also do the Gibbs-Bernardo on the crystal side. The most robust phase is the FCC.
The
most robust, like theory for the crystal.
Yeah.
The FCC has most triangles and quadrilateral.
No, you are talking about the BCC. BCC.
BCC.
Yeah, I know BCC.
Yeah.
I know that. Got BCC, and then there's one point here. Is that you know the roton wave vector has to be the same length, roton wave vector, but the k because the rule don't have to be the same length. That's why I'm able to get the HCP lattice. You know, when you talk about the classical liquid solid transition, they're very difficult to get HCP.
Yes, right.
Because there are different rules. But here it becomes very natural. Because even roton has Q has the same K, but the rule, psi squared, could have a different length. That's why I'm able to get the HCP lattice. I get the P equal to 6. I can recover. And I get 6, that's due to hexagonal symmetry. So here we can find it very close to a super solid. So we found, because of all this term, brick U1 symmetry, essentially clears the Gauss thermals at k equal to 0. The conclusion is, for perfect lattice, no chance to get a super solid. But BCC and HCP are quite close. As you can see, this is power 4, power 6. So the transition is 3dxy. So
can you explain how do I see from clean? You went back too fast for me.
Let me explain this. You know, just focus on this transition. Yeah. These two couplings, they are near 3dxy model. They are dangerously irrelevant. They're irrelevant near the critical point. But somehow if you go to low temperature, they grow up. Then they destroy Gauss-Steiner modes. So that's called the dangerous irrelevant because of this power 4, power 6. So we know this from critical phenomena. Is that right?
It's a term just like qubit anisotropy or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
It has nothing to do with relevant versus irrelevant.
No, it is dangerous. It's called dangerous irrelevant. That's a terminology.
No.
That's a frame. That
doesn't matter.
Okay.
But can you again come back to, so how do you conclude that any clean
lattice has no solid solid? Yeah, from here is, you know, because of all this coupling, after you load on condense, I really need to explain one thing. You know, the Rotan dispersion relationship related to structure factor like this, due to Feynman.
To less
than. What?
Less than or equal to, not equal to.
Oh, okay. I need to look at that inequality. So if the transition approach from this side, the structure factor get a peak at the same time the Rotan get a minimum. So they happen at the same time. You know, the density part get the HCP lattice, the Rotan part collapse. So that's why they are related. They happen at the same time. There's no two transition because of this relation. Let me see. So because of this coupling, they will destroy Gauss-Steiner mode at k equal to 0. No Gauss-Steiner mode, no non-classical rotation initial. That goes to this conclusion. But BCs and HCs are quite close.
I still don't understand. If it's too difficult, then I can ask you later.
Yeah.
Let me ask one more time. So the fact that there's no are you saying that for clean lattice, then you can show that there's no Gauss-Steiner mode, and that's why? You say there's no
supersolid? Yeah, no non-classical rotation initial. There's no, they open the gap. Non-classical rotation initial means finite superfluid stiffness. Means you have a Gauss-Steiner mode. A Gauss-Steiner mode at k equal to 0. Non-classical rotation initial is different than BEC. You know, these two concepts.
Okay, so for clean lattice, you don't have Gauss-Steiner mode period?
Yeah. Non-classical rotation initial. Okay, so now DCCHCB is close because this coupling is power 4 to 6. This is simply very low, so they kill the XY transition just immediately. But here, we still have 3DXY, but somehow it's dangerous because it's dangerously relevant. So now, let me hear this diagram is for clean system from superfluid side, I would like to get this two phase. Of course, there's always underlying lattice, the low sector. What I don't talk about is this, they focus on G sector. N sector is always here, should be not equal to zero. Yeah. I got the density wave A, Rotan condensation, but no Poisson 1 condensation. Density wave B, I got Poisson 1 condensation, but non classical rotation initial equal to zero. So that's the phase diagram due to Rotan minimum condensation. So now, let me discussion. You have a question?
Okay, I develop the diagram just one more time.
So this side is normal solid.
Uh-huh.
So I would like to say in this side we still get some remnants of superfluid. Still get some remnants of superfluid.
My question if it's in the 3DXY model, then the fact that there is nothing in the specific heat rules out this, right?
No. Then I come to one transparency. You look at the energy scale, length scale. In principle, if you don't get specific, you can rule out this theory. But I can give you another argument very later on to estimate the critical region. So there is a 3dxy transition from here, but somehow the Gauss-Steiner was destroyed due to the dangerous irrelevant operator. So for clean case, but we got quite close because we have a 3dxy transition. And then when you get close, impurity can push us even closer. So let me discuss PSU's experiment. So of course, HCP lattice, this ratio, anyway, that dangerous experiment has nothing to do with ratio, independent of this ratio. And so edge CP light is quite close, but don't get super solid. However, the U1 symmetry bracket term, we find this term, this dangerous term. Will this term need a perfect lattice?
At higher temperature, there is data on C to A.
On high temperature, on which phase? One density wave A? There is no, they don't go to high temperature. Each of the high temperature becomes a normal solid. But unfortunately, I don't understand this transition very well. I put a dashed line here. This normal solid go to very high temperature. That's classical normal liquid normal solid transition. This phase only happens at low temperature. High pressure, it could.
So you would predict a distortion of a lattice?
No, I need the impurity to distort it. I cannot distort it. So the impurity, then we can see, because this term is need a perfect lattice lesson. If you look at the argument, because the Psi 2, 4 Psi 2 has to scatter to k equal to 0 in the phase space in order to couple the Psi 1. So you need the perfect lattice, this coupling.
Let's see.
Yeah.
You keep saying, but you, all the lattices you consider are perfect lattices, right?
Yeah. But right now it's a perfect lattice.
So,
step by step. I hear so far it's a perfect lattice.
I try to understand that when you say a clean limit, you mean you include a case with a defect, right?
No defect. So far, no defect. So far, it's no defect. No impurities, no dislocations, nothing.
No dislocation, like vacancies,
vacancies, I don't see.
You're talking about perfect lattice.
Yeah, I talk about perfect lattice. Yeah, no.
You
can have particle hole VIP. Vacancy institution pair. Very important person I can have. VIP.
Yeah. So
I can have, definitely.
Basically, you are saying the commercial case, right? Yes, sir.
You only talk about commensuration. I don't think in the theory there's any way you can tell if the agency is or not.
That point, let me go to the last transparency answer vacancy problem. Okay, so now I got the clean lattice. So this phase is essentially a density wave, superimposed on the lattice. The Psi 2, but I have an underlying lattice. So that phase, solid has a quantum phase order. So let me discuss the experiment. Then, you want to get rid of the dangerous irrelevant term, we have two ways. Either distort the lattice, make it a string, and then we'll add in the hideously imputed to distort that very effectively. But the US.
Data on that, too. Simmons has a lot of data on that.
Which one? Number two?
Number two, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, two more transparencies I will discuss why, how many concentrations we need to distort the lattice. But so far, you will say helium 3 is PPN, who cares? But I would like to say PPN is good enough. I will compare with length scale. Okay. Very effective. I will show this quantitatively in two more transparencies. But let me make this claim first. Okay, if the distorted lattice, that off diagonal term is very sensitive.
When you add helium 3 to impurities, they're not quench disorder. The helium 3 is moving around, right?
It may move by
the same symmetry.
I don't think helium 3 move that fast as VIP. We can see in the tissue pair there are dynamic fluctuations. Helium 3 is big. They distort the lattice. So but the diagonal turn is always there, because diagonal don't need fine tuning. The off diagonal turn needs fine tuning. The diagonal turn does not need fine tuning. So that way we introduce a randomized turn. Okay. We introduce a randomized turn. So fortunately, for 3D XY model, we know alpha is negative, as Alan used a different argument for lattice. I use it for Harris criteria, for disorder.
So your impurity is an additional D that couple to the density density only, but not the other parameter, not the psi.
Couple to that one square.
epsilon squared.
So because the diagonal don't need fine tuning.
Why wouldn't you couple the psi 2 squared? Because the invertibility is also the atomic size, and psi 2 is atomic size.
Yeah, psi 2 is non-critical. In this case, it's a lattice already.
So you,
what the sensitivity is psi 1?
In practice, okay, you know, I just want to understand your mathematics, so you control psi 1 only.
Yeah.
So there is no systematic shift to scalar 3.
There is no.
Scalar 3 is a respect of empirical lattice. It doesn't in one way. It's not a Garrett model. It's not a random PC model or random Nascar. It shifts in one way. There's a systematic shift.
You know, in terms of maybe in the lattice, that you know, when the axon psi 1, it's just to play a randomized. That's what that means.
It's not random.
No.
You try here, that's only
possible term. Psi 2, the lattice, if your density wave distorted a little bit, it acts like this way. So in psi 1, it's a randomized. You know, you are talking about, focus on psi 1. The effect is psi. What?
Which one is the density? So I go border away to density.
Psi 1 or psi 2? Psi 1 is the, because you come late. I saw you, you come only 10 minutes ago. Yeah.
But I read the paper.
No, that paper in a way is not complete. Why don't we have a more private discussion? That's not I, because I, we have more. So that's just a little randomized term.
Fine, I'll wait to question session, but I'll ask this question again. But
okay, definitely.
You don't know that every minute,
yeah,
he pays everyone $10.
Yeah.
You have very much encouraged to ask questions.
Okay.
I have time with about 28 people.
And so I need to be careful. Definitely, I will answer your question, maybe more in detail in private. Okay, so. Okay. From Harris criterion, a randomized term is irrelevant. However, the randomized term is still hurts superfluid. Okay, it will decrease the superfluid density. So hidden sleep plays a dual role. They kill the off-diagonal term very effectively, because the off-diagonal is very vulnerable, because that coupling very sensitive to perfect lattice symmetry. You need fine tuning. The diagonal term is very robust. So the hidden 3 kills the off diagonal term, but introduces a randomized term. But does not change 3dxy universal cross, but decreases the superfluid density. So, of course, specific heat should show this lambda peak, but I will come back to that point. So I called this phenomenon called water front quenched disorder. So originally it was one U1 symmetry, but due to quenched disorder, we have two U1 symmetry. But this car was broken already, so we have U1 at psi 1 sector.
Okay, let me understand the logic.
Yeah.
The logic is that suppose in a perfect lattice I have this quadrilateral and whatnot, and then that it produces a gap for you. So basically you need to destroy that thing.
That destroys the off diagonal term.
Those cubic term,
fourth term, or
you need to increase the strength.
Yeah,
exactly. This term is enough to balance that term. So therefore, that's how you estimate the critical.
Yeah, it's very similar. Yeah, definitely.
But then I
didn't. Well, why don't I go to next transformation? I'm estimated the range. Yeah, definitely. You already go beyond that. Okay. So I definitely estimated that critical range. What kind of impure concentration we need? But so far, let me make it clear, and then see what's the impure concentration we need to get rid of the off-diagonal term. Of course, this is for PBB and PBN. Of course, here I just get the corollary. For hidden 3 solid, I think that instability is really due to 8k to 0. It's not due to low-time minimum. So hidden 3 solid, you might see there's no chance to get the super solid. Hidden 3 solid. Why are you laughing?
I'm sorry. Then never mind.
You have some comment on hidden 3 solid?
Not this conference.
Oh, okay, because you want to save me some money. Okay.
But if you want to care, comment on that, please do.
I just mean helium 3 solid. It's not like a helium 4, because we know there's no rotor minimum in superfluid helium 3.
But if you're going to have super solid helium 3, you're going to have to pair. Okay,
and
free, so I don't think any of the considerations you're talking here.
Yeah, that's a paid superfluid. Yeah, definitely. So now with hidden 3, I change the diagram a little bit. the phase diagram. Of course, other phase does not are not sensitive at all to this tiny imputing. But this phase is very sensitive. So, of course, I also applied to Biele. Even this theory does not work for Hilbert full. I know it works for Biele. Biele is a microtone rotor minimum in Biele quantum Hall effect. That's the rotor minimum collapse leads to density wave. That's definitely true.
No, but is it well, okay? What means you know it works in what experiment that you have?
Because Hartree Fock many numerical calculation strongly sees rotor minimum with distance to Biele distance.
Compared to numerical experiments, what that's what you mean.
Yeah.
Not that the question is whether you have any
neutron scattering.
Well, by there is anything that the geometric science see that can compare to it, and then.
Oh, because here I get a prediction with Eisenstein's experiment indirectly. Evidence. So distorted Hilbert four by Hilbert three. Then in this case, due to all the frequency disorder, I do get a super solid state with non-classical rotation initial. Okay, this phase is very sensible to imputing. Of course, I learned this just a few days ago from Goodkind's experiment. They also found the important law of ADP of imputing for heat wave measurement. I think they're connected. Okay, I think. So let me. What time? Oh, okay. Okay. Because I'm going to win, looks like. Okay, I want to keep this. So I just want in super solid side, I want to. I look like it's okay. Yeah. I'm in the limit. So in the super solid side, I have psi 1, psi 2, psi 1, super fluid cake, so these have BEC, non-classical rotation initial. Of course, psi 2 is the density, yeah, density wave, and there's a transfer term, I call this local transfer rate between super fluid component and density wave. You know, so. So now let me look at the super solid vortex. So that's I want to come to the estimate of the impurity. How much impurity concentration do we need? So of course in superfluid we know the vortex excitation proportion to superfluid density log R of superfluid vortex core size, R is the system size. And then of course we know core size, superfluid core size is the lattice constant. So we get in super solid, of course. So this way I describe with Jason. Jason says that the low energy excitation is a vortex loop. But in my opinion, if you rotate like this because of the axial symmetry, it's a steer vortex.
Line?
It's a vortex line. It's a vortex line.
Okay, then how much energy?
Yeah, look, we can look at the energy. It's a vortex line because of the symmetry. You know, the symmetrical symmetry.
The line is one straight line?
Yeah, it is.
You mean 10 to the 5 times more than the lattice spacing?
It's
if you rotate. Like 10 to the 5.
Now, if you rotate the superfluid, yeah. Well, did you get vortex line? Superfluid, if you rotate.
It did.
Yeah, you're super solid, you get this, it's also vortex line because of the symmetry.
Yeah, but the question is what is the activation energy?
Yeah, we look at it. So, we can see the superfluid density is very small. Okay, make the energy small.
But do you use Moses? Do you estimate your superfluid density, or you what's the number? Oh,
okay. Then I use Moses because that's the only thing I can use. I cannot calculate anything. So if no choice is a good choice. So it's 10^-2. However, I believe the vortex core in super solid psi 1, as in my field theory, is a tiny region around the cake to zero. There's a cutoff.
Yes, of course.
So there's a cutoff. I focus on this. This cutoff is much smaller than the rotor sphere. Okay, this cutoff is very small. So the only energy scale is for, if you talk about the super solid, the only energy scale is 1 over lambda. So lambda is, of course, is much smaller than Kr. Turns out this guy is much, much larger.
Then
the superfluid vortex.
1,000 times smaller, doesn't matter.
Okay,
logarithm.
Exactly. That's why I favor my theory against the impurity. why it's so vulnerable to impurity? Because this guy is so big, you see?
What's so big?
We can estimate, yeah. Compared to superfluid vortex, there are two reductions. One is superfluid density, another is core size. Core size usually don't care. Usually don't care because there's logarithmic. But now we have to care because the critical velocity superfluid is much larger, even larger than this. Okay, centimeter. But here is suppose micrometer. Here is you can see this at least 1,000 times smaller. But the superfluid is only 100 times smaller. That's only a lower limit. This is a lower limit. So from here we can get the vortex core size is 10 to the power 4 at least.
10 to the power 4 of what?
Of the superfluid vortex core.
Can you define slowly again what theta SS?
Theta SS is just the core size of super solid vortex.
Okay, and then
so they cover a lot of lattice constant. It's like in superconductor, not really like superconductor. In high TC, we know a vortex core is very fat. They cover a lot of lattice constant. Here, the prediction is a super solid vortex core is a very long, it's a long wavelength theory. You know, superfluid is a global behavior of the lattice. So they cover a lot of lattice constant. That is a good case.
So is it more energetic or less energetic?
Of course, the energy, because from here is...
you say that
I use Moses' data. I cannot calculate, but I can relate a different quantity. So of course this vortex core size is very big. Less energy, it's still less energetic. Because there are two reductions.
So yeah, but then your vortex core size is about 10,000 times the lattice spacing?
This 10 to the power 4.
So the 10,000
yeah.
times of the lattice spacing?
Yeah, yeah.
You say in super solid, the vortex core is
huge.
Okay.
Cover a lot of lattice constant.
But based on what?
Based on this. Based on the excitation is super the vortex.
If it insists. That is the
expectation,
of course, you get it.
Yeah, this is the, my opinion is the
expectation. No, but do you do any calculation, whatever has...
No,
this is not a
calculation. Hartree-Fock, nobody believes Hartree-Fock.
You can ask me, David can do a calculation, see whether the vortex core size... Well, I mean,
it's
10,000 times bigger than
that. And you use this formula and the energy for the vortex core, so the critical velocity, you can extract the size of...
Yeah. That's what I did.
So the input
draw
SS is like 2%.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I did. Ginsburg-Nando theory is not that powerful to do any microscopic calculation, but I'm able to compare with the experiment and extract some phenomenological parameters. What is the phenomenological parameters? You want it to be consistent with experiment. This is also consistent with my Ginsburg-Nando theory because there is a small region near cake to this with a small cutoff. So it's not microscopic, so it's consistent.
What about the core energy? If you put a large core.
This includes everything. That's the energy. Include.
This is the energy due to circulating lines outside the core.
But there's a cutoff. You have to.
Right,
below that cutoff, that percent one doesn't make sense anymore.
Everything you did was a calculation except for this one. This you insist that this must be the energy, and then you force the core size to be 10 to the 4. Anyway, never mind, continue.
So you have an ultraviolet cutoff has an infrared cutoff. That determines the energy of a vortex. So at 0.03 ppm, so I found the distance is 400. So only one more transparency, I will stop. So I found three widely separated length scale, okay? Super solid, impurity, super fluid. Actually, so this guy, impurity is sufficiently dense to eliminate the off-diagonal term, but sufficiently dilute to introduce uncorrelated random mass. Because uncorrelated random mass is irrelevant for CPXY. So that's why, so this ppm range, this guy is sufficiently dense to lead to super solid. Finally, I talk about the specific heat, because the lambda peak, in principle, you should see. But the correlation length is much, the critical range, the correlation length must be much larger than this large length scale. and make the critical region is much narrower. So that makes the lambda peak. Of course, it would be nice to see specific heat lambda peak, but if you didn't see it at this moment, I didn't think it's a big, huge blow, because the critical region is much narrower than normally critical to supersolid transition.
But even if it's broadened, you still have to have some sort of behavior.
No, it's not broadened. I didn't see broadened. There is many people say broadened to the impurity,
okay, so
but here it's neither. The region is very neither. You have to get the critical region to see the lambda peak. If the critical region is extremely small.
It's just like superconductor. Superconductor has a very large coherence length, and the critical region is small. What do you see? You see a jump in a specific heat.
It's a cost. It's not a jump. Even in normal liquid superfluid transition.
You see the lambda transition, that's right.
It's a cost. You have to go to where?
No, but the point is that there has to be a change in this entropy. So if you don't have the cost, you
disappear in the order phase. You cannot just say that you glide over and you didn't notice the delta function. You know, entropy has to be different in the gradient before and after, even if the peak is very sharp.
Yeah, but my point is you have to go to ready. Okay. Let me conclude. Right, so let me look at it. So we got this, just give me 1 second. Let me see. I was probably going to win. So 11:05, I started from 10.
I don't think so. I think you should plug your wallet.
No, I need that $10. So I construct the Ginsburg Landau theory, superfluid density wave on the same order, global phase diagram, phase transition, perfect lattice, don't have super solid, but HCP, BCs are quite close. We propose the order from quantity disorder phenomenon, and then we have 3 important landscape. Okay, thank you very much. To pay me $10 because 11:05.
No, I
started at 10:10.
I made you a deal.
Yeah.
You don't pay them $10. Just pay me $10. You
don't pay them. We have it on tape, so. Okay. Well, we have so many questions then since it sort of did go over. I think maybe we should have a break. Yeah. So it won't go too far into the next talk.
But it's fine. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All
right. So, sorry, I'm 15, 10 minutes.
They have been making
What do you think?
As far as the roton,
the moderating component.
at melting, when it freezes, it's, you know, the phase of the ground.
But I don't understand the problem at all. The solid transition
from
the liquid
to solid
transition.
It goes from here to here. I mean, it's going
down. It's not driven by anything.
It's getting smaller. But then even if you go way up here, well, no, but you can do an experiment and have a stable liquid. So this is a liquid. Still a superfluid.
Somehow,
they
have
still do an experiment.
The solid is going to be driven by the psi 2.
It rolls on the finish, but
the
Landau-Gibbs
doesn't
have
a
stable phase.
It doesn't have.
You have a metal state, that metal state is a superfluid.
Yeah, and so it's well, even the line here, this line continues.
No, I mean, he's saying it's already the same, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the doctor minimum gets back.
If it increases PC, he already took that.
No,
he just said that. He's just saying that it's the.
Yeah, it gets stupid, but it's still about zero.
No, the end of
yeah,
the
well, even way up here, it's not zero.
Can you account for the increase in the model?
So I don't know why you say there's strong experimental evidence. What evidence is there?
Yeah, because it's a present.
Those are all theory papers.
Yeah, it's a theory paper. Actually, I find it's a
more like a vacancy.
So I just think it's a
no, I don't have that.
Very heavy.
You mean this superfluid may go all the way down to the bottom?
Wouldn't be sufficient for him already to have a superfluid?
Yeah.
So that means we can get superfluid.
No more guys of any guy.
So that's that model was an example.
I don't know.
That's very careful.
Yeah.
Because if you have any walls, it's like water. You know, it's like super cool water.
It's a metal state.
Yeah.
But I
don't know.
In that case, you are right. But I feel it's the stable phase. No, I'm just strong.
I'm
not sure how much. Well, stable
software,
what
was
it, a sample
inside? Oh, sure. A roton is a liquid concept.
So, so you have a lemon.
Maybe it's just a way.
So, I think it's
he's just saying that because of this term, when you order psi 2 and not psi 1, that's what they and psi 2 somehow because it's not, he doesn't have no k for 0 components and it does not lead to NTRI. That's all.
Yeah.
Okay, you need a cable zero.
Because I don't have a phone number.
It does.
They don't have an NCKR because it's not a cable. It has the phone number.
It tries to evade, but of course it's more localized.
Well, there's always a phone number. Oh, it's really much denser. But you break the E1 gauge image, there is.
It's
a book to more, but you're saying that. It's just not a book to more. Why do you have a book ordered? Simon is not ordered.
We found that the first layer is not freezing. As you say, you take the solid, it's 6 degrees the first layer, and 9 degrees the second layer.
No, but he was saying that the
One issue is, I think, but I don't know that it's true, that there was a grain boundary between the wall and the solid. And if there is, and if it's sort of setting few scales, even as
you understand.
So that's a website that you can upload, you have a monarch
I'm looking for her to what I want to do is get him give him the CD.
And he said that instead of uploading it.
Yeah.
Uploading is pretty similar, actually.
You just go to the website, you put in your name,
and that's the email address, and
well, then I went to go home, because I'm not connected here.
You have to say that there are, in fact, more impurities in the vault than there are in the
vault. I can do it over the weekend.
I don't know if Moses has an opinion.
In fact, it's amazing. They actually synchronized.
I don't think you mentioned
the slide to your talk. I'm not sure how they did that. I assume it's not somewhere to sit there. And
it would be interesting to. If your voice on somebody else's slides, what you mean?
That's true. That's like, that was a Woody Allen movie.
You think it's functional healing three impurities?
They're really good.
Yeah, mostly.
In fact, you might find the right.
Did you measure the function of the healing three impurities?
What's that?
Did you use
find the right IP person?
We have not got a
good
point.
They're
very healthy. Did you measure above?
Yes, that's the major result.
That's being asked around the.
We have done it. Sorry, the 0.3. 0.3.
VPN, 10 VPN,
30 VPN. If you have your laptop here, you're online.
No, I'm not online. In bulk, we have that 0.3 VPN, 85 VPN, 46 VPN.
But somehow they actually synchronize the audio to it.
They're pretty good.
Is that right?
No one's stopping here.
Do you have to change the whole chamber to have an analog?
If you calculate the energy of the station,
and
that will be
sample seven.
The delta E is about. Yeah, the delta E from no interstitials to having interstitials.
So the same for the vacant.
I'm sorry. I misheard. No, I have not calculated.
Because they quote a number. In your paper, it's quite.
I have not
calculated.
You did not know vacancy.
I've done vacancies. I haven't done interstitial.
Because in your paper, there is definitely something like 50K.
Yeah, we've got to start soon.
Every control F or something. And then this will be
okay. The fast call, the ring extended. There is a quote, by energy of the interstitial.
For the paper. For that paper.
If you just think all that to be the average, in the model building, using a uniform phase shift, but.
The
system has a more
Well, that doesn't include maybe some finite size. I mean, it seems like if it's that, if it's so big, it doesn't really matter.
No, of course.
Uniform theory, and at some point, I don't know if you're ready to take a.
So you can figure it out.
But it's, it becomes a slam book. Right. So that's what I say.
One of the things we've been trying
to discuss now is that we don't have to also bring in the great space with garden and shrine.
And also things like.
We hadn't really planned on any activities this afternoon.
I mean, obviously you can have some discussion. And also for the weekend, so maybe if people want to do something this weekend, you should come this afternoon and talk to. So I'll be around in the afternoon. We can try to organize something, but
for the wineries, the designated driver.
Okay.
That's fun.
Okay. That's a suggestion.
Thank you for volunteering.
I want to send a lot of people to drink. A lot of people to drink.
Okay. So now we have Wayne talking about theories of superfluid fraction.
Well, again, I want to thank the organizers. This symbol F sub S is something that I think Tony Leggett introduced only relatively recently, and I think it's a nice notation, so I'll be using that. It just means rho S over the average density. I think it appears in three or four years ago. It's relatively recent, but it's a nice notation.
But he used that in his empty paper. He's going around.
That's not how
you
use it. You really? Ooh, never mind. Okay, well, sorry about that. I just want to, what I'm going to do is say what I know about how to calculate superfluid field fractions. And it's certainly, as far as I can tell, not in Andrea-Hilbert. It's not in Chester, who certainly admitted, I think, that he didn't really know what kind of special case Bose-Einstein and Solid would be. But I'm going to expand upon what Tony Leggett did, his prescription, which is based on a variational estimate. It is intrinsically an upper bound. And in light of what we've learned this week about the possible effect of vacancies, it makes it clear to me that we have to also start to think about upper bounds that would include vacancies. And what Tony did, I think, pretty much corresponds to assuming something like what happens if you have a Bose-Einstein condensation sum to a periodic state that is commensurate with the lattice. And we'd probably get a very good expression for the superfluid fraction in that case. But if you don't have a commensurate system, and in fact it's very important that the system not be commensurate, the game changes and fairly significantly, but I haven't really been able to haven't had enough time to really work this out.
Excuse me? Whether this incommensurate, I think his assumption is that rho s and rho of r track each other.
Let me get to that. In some sense, you're right. If you scale up one, you scale up the other. But if you do it as a superfluid fraction, at least at zero temperature, that won't be a relevant issue. Now, the other way I know of calculating S, and this is a real calculation, not an upper bound, a real calculation. I have the authorship, is it separately or separately in Pollock, do I have the right year? They give an exact relationship, okay? It's based on fluctuations, and I believe that really does include both thermal and quantum fluctuations in the definition. It's built on Gordon Bain's work, some lecture work. But, yes, we can get an exact number. Okay, we can get an exact number. But the problem is it doesn't tell us enough about what's happening microscopically. I think that would be a fair statement.
Because you see these, it maps the quantum system to this classical system, and you get a rho s, you see exactly where the currents are going and so forth. You could, for example, David Galley had some pictures of interstitial vacancy pairs. I mean, presumably it's all in there. It may take some insight to figure out what it is you're seeing because you have this complex many-body system.
You can calculate all sorts of correlation functions, but you can't quite get the wave function. Is that would you? Well, and that's what I'm. That's what the issue. That's really the hard part. All right. One thing that, that is very difficult. And what Tony does is he's at least trying to start from a wave function. And there, so it's restricted to zero temperature. And so maybe we can see quantum mechanics a little bit.
I mean, as somebody pointed out, if you start from a wave function point of view, anything is a superfluid. It's the question, this old question, taking limits, thermodynamic limits to the temperature limit in the right way. Because anything has a finite system has a gap.
No, the gap doesn't
apply to the superfluid. I see what you're saying, but I would not. I would not
think to one particle in the box.
So any finite system has no superfluid.
You can state that has no Venturi.
Let's see how well I can do. I threw in some extra stuff because I just thought I would throw these things in. Okay, this is repetitive, but we don't really know what Andrei Avnalifshitz were talking about, and I don't quite know what the relationship is, but I just want to say it again. Okay, so two distinct mechanisms of the super solid. They consider whatever vacancy condensation means, and if they talk about flow with I think density changes. Well, quoting them again, mass transport by means of the motion of the zero point defectons while the lattice sites remain essentially fixed. That seems to me that the vacancy is a lattice. Vacancies go one way, so mass has to go another way. That seems to me what. And the other considerations are bi-legged considers, as far as I can tell, I'm really considering commensurate particle condensation and flow with no change in the density or the lattice. It's what I call base flow. Maybe it's a bad terminology.
I don't think Tony addressed commensurability at all. He just had the wave function.
Yes, he did. It's implicit, I think, that it's a commensurate.
Why?
Well, because it shows the periodicity of the lattice.
Precisely.
Well, wait until the end, because then I will show you an example of a wave function which has one vacancy, and you'll see something different about that wave function. And so hold off that criticism until the end.
It's not criticism. It's reference. What Tony really said. Given a ground state wave function, I have no way to tell it's a commensurate, not commensurate period.
He's not commenting on that, but wait until you see in response to this week's stuff. All right, and then there are two classes of experiments that, the pressure driven one that seems where you expect density changes, but it doesn't seem to happen, all right? And somehow, I think there's a need to understand this better. I've said, you can equilibrate the chemical potential by, including the effect of the stresses and strains on the chemical potential. Mike Ma made the comment that the system has a shape that, from the lattice points, that it doesn't want to change. That's perhaps an equivalent state. We don't know if those are right, but we're searching for reasons. I think it's fine.
Awesome. The green light's on.
The green light's on. Okay. And then, of course, there's this, with the NCRI, the location experiment.
Wait.
Yeah.
In commensurate quantum crystal, where every single side is identical to another one, and where the number of atoms is not equal to the number of sides, would get radiation on the perfect crystal.
Precisely.
Do you agree?
Wait, hold on, because I tried to make up what I think perhaps Tony might say if he knew about who he thought about that. Okay, so let me hold on. Okay, so again to repeat, I think it's going to be He was really thinking about a single commensurate and periodic state. And now that approach gives an upper limit for the superfluid fraction of zero temperature. And this is what I'll call one body phase. It doesn't include correlations of one particle goes through and it doesn't really know, it sees an average density, but it doesn't notice in particular what any other particle is doing as it does goes through its superflow. All right? And I, yeah, I want to say that it, you can do better. Okay? Tony again, he doesn't work, can't get through with that with Sasha, so he's going to try to get through with Moses.
Okay. Yeah, because Tony said he does not really require
six. Okay. Anyway, so I took a density that's a sum of Gaussians. Okay. Using the best estimate for the Gaussian width, I got a value with this one by density that was about 2%, very close to its Fermi. I don't believe it. Okay, but at the time I believed it. I thought it was good. And the reason I don't believe it is because I then said, look, we now know much better what the density profile is in the sun. We've got 30 years have gone by. Monte Carlo calculations have developed. Okay, so I've taken Monte Carlo densities, and I get density. I didn't write this down here, but if I take a density from David. I get a superfluid fraction on the order of 20%. Okay?
But I get 16%.
Okay. So
wait, how do you do this? Is it,
I'm gonna tell you. Oh, that's okay. This is our outline, okay? But I just want to comment that I've also done some calculations on FCC, HTP, blah blah blah. So okay. So what's new in anybody physics? Well, it's not really new. Other people have done this before, but you higher order correlations in the phase function. As we normally say, the wave function, when you've got flow, has to be multiplied by e to the I phi. And everybody knows in the fluid, phi is just for each particle, I times some wave vector k divided with that particle forward. And we assume that it's still not, I times some function that only depends upon one coordinate, when we have a supersolid, it reflects then the atomic scale flow. Well, what I'm saying is we can probably do better, and we should be thinking about this sort of thing in a more complex way. That is, the phase function should be more complicated. And I just want to say here now, yes, everybody knows phase flow implies quantum vortex lines and rings. No one is talking about doing vortex rings experiments. There's no one here with the expertise. Okay, but somewhere out in the world, there are people who have some expertise, and I think it would be very useful if they were to start thinking about trying to do that sort of thing. So, addendum, this is what comes from thinking about things this week and hearing about some of the experimental results. How do we include the effect of vacancies to making a good estimate of the superfluid fraction, and what could the wave function possibly look like if we've got vacancies? Okay, does helium-3 play an essential role in affecting the wave function? And I have not addressed the latter, but okay, I'm sorry for using this phrase phase flow, but I just think in such terms. Let's say we've got a one-body system. Everybody knows the wave function.
Can we close the
row times
e? Turn off the light in the
front. I'm sorry.
Turn off the lights up front.
Turn off the lights. Here, I guess I'm
the middle one.
Middle one.
Most important.
It's okay.
I think it's on the other.
Yeah. It's over here to the right.
There is one there.
So let you do. Oh.
That help a little bit.
No,
this is awful.
It is awful.
There's a system. There's some switches over there.
Oh.
Go ahead.
There you go. That helps.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, anyway, everybody knows the results up here. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yay. Okay. Wait. I need a time.
It's standing up at the end.
Oh, right.
Of the
right.
At the end of the chalkboard. Yeah.
This will not count your time. So relax.
Right here.
Okay. That's all right. I really don't have that much technical stuff to say. So hopefully I won't go over. Okay, so look, we know the Schrodinger equation gives us all of this stuff, okay? I'm writing Vs is h bar over m times the phase rate. Tell Tony to stop calling you. Okay, and we've got, so for continuity equation, I think of this as phase flow, okay? And the example I may have commented about it earlier is, look, if you have an electron in a hydrogen atom, that's in a two-piece statement, L equal one, okay, let's forget about the proton. You get a non-zero flux, okay, J, and you need that to get an angular momentum. So it's, if the proton is there, you know this thing is going around like that. There's no net momentum, d rho dt is zero, div j is zero, you've got a constant density, you really have local particle flow. This is a simple example of phase fluid constant density. And Tony's idea is that you just have a big system,
no.
All right? And the big system keeps a constant density, you develop a phase, and